You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW FM 91.7 in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden. About a year ago, we gave you a program all about redemption called Second Chances, Clearing Your Criminal Record. Things have changed in that the legislature has opened up new avenues to help restore people, many of whom were neither convicted or even charged with criminal offenses, restoring them to the status they might have had but for an accusation or an arrest. We scheduled tonight's show to pick up right there. My guest tonight, Dean Johnson, is an Emmy-nominated commentator on both legal and political matters, a former prosecutor, and is an attorney practicing civil litigation and criminal defense in both state and federal courts. Tonight, there is so much to discuss. If you have questions for my guest, our phone number to us right here in the studio is 415-841-4134. Again, 415-841-4134. If you're outside of the local dialing area, our toll-free number, where we pay the freight, is 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. And as always, you can call regarding any question on the topics of clearing your record. And as you may remember, Dean Johnson has been on the program several times talking about law and political developments, the Mueller investigation and the impeachment process. And with today's events, you can call regarding law and politics, as well as clearing your criminal record, or the various investigations, or the possibility of impeachment, which looks pretty certain. You're not limited to where we may be in our conversation. And we talked about today's events. Are you also disheartened to hear, when you hear one Congressman, Adam Schiff, talk about the possibility of acts that are, in essence, high crimes and misdemeanors? And then another Congressperson, Devin Nunes, replied by speaking of lying Democrats and members of the corrupt media. Are you concerned we may be watching the slow unraveling of our democracy? Call in. Again, our toll-free number is 866-798-8255. Dean Johnson, let me once again welcome you back to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, Jeff. Great to be here again.
You know, when we scheduled the show, it was seeing quite a bit of change over the last year on ways you can get your record cleared. So we did really want to start there with record clearances. And that's really what I want to start with. What is record clearing? What is that actually?
Well, you know, record clearance is probably the most common request that we get as criminal defense attorneys. And the typical situation is that someone calls who's had a criminal conviction, could be a DUI, could be a petty theft, and often it's years ago, and suddenly they've realized that, their company is being acquired, and the acquiring company is going to do a background check on all of the managers, which includes the client, or I'm applying for a job where I need a security clearance and I've got a criminal conviction in my background, and the potential client says, what can I do? Is there anything I can do to clear up that record? And the answer is there are many, many things you can do. Typically, what we do or where we start is what we call expungement, where we make a motion to dismiss the case. And if you have been put on probation after your criminal conviction, which is the typical result for somebody who's been convicted of a crime. You've done well on probation. You've completed your probation, haven't committed any further crimes, and we can make a motion to the court called a petition to dismiss your case. We can also, under certain circumstances, if you say haven't done that well on probation, or you're not even through with probation, or maybe you have multiple convictions, there's still things we can do, but it gets a little more complicated. Eventually, though, what we hope to wind up with and what we generally do wind up with is a dismissal of the case. Any guilty plea or no contest plea that you may have entered or any verdict of guilty is set aside. And we do all of that, and here's a Latin phrase for all you lawyer fans, nunc pro tunc, which means we pretend that all of that happened, the withdrawal of the plea, the dismissal of the case, all of that happened as of the very first day that the defendant walked into court. So legally speaking, And for most purposes, it's as if the criminal conviction never happened. Now, there are lots of limitations on that. And I should say, as a caveat to everything we talk about tonight, what we're doing now is sort of general education of the public so people are aware of their rights. The show is called Your Legal Rights, and that's what we do. But this is a very complex area. There are lots of nuances. Cases can turn on very small factors that might not be obvious to a non-attorney, and so anytime you're involved in something like this, it's always a good idea to seek competent legal counsel before you go ahead.
So an expungement is obviously somewhat limited. And one thing that's changed in the last year is the sheer number of tools that go beyond an expungement. Maybe we want to pick up those a little later, but things if you've received bad immigration advice or if you have perhaps you were arrested and never charged, are there things that they can do that perhaps might go a little further than an expungement?
Oh, there are all sorts of things. And there's an important distinction to make here. We call this expungement. And my clients often have the impression that expungement means what the actual word means, which is that somebody, once expungement is granted, somebody either goes into the court's databases and deletes the case, or somebody takes the physical file of the court and goes over it with a whiteout so it all disappears. That's not what happens with your typical expungement. What expungement does, the more typical case, what we call a 1203.4 petition, just adds something to the record, which is a very important line that says, case dismissed. And so if anybody goes to see that record, which people can do because they're public records, they will see that, yes, you had a case, you had a criminal conviction at one time, you successfully completed your probation, and your case was dismissed. And that's what you can truthfully tell people. There is something else which the legislature from time to time has referred to as true expungement, and that's available only in very limited circumstances. That's what most people think expungement is. The records are sealed. Nobody can look at those records without a court order. The case is deemed to have never happened, and none of the consequences of having a criminal conviction apply to you anymore. But that's only available in very limited circumstances, but we do have tools to get that too if you fall into certain categories.
Let me turn it to Phil in San Francisco. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Well, welcome aboard to JAG, you know, from Annapolis. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, not too shabby for a white boy. Okay, so once upon a time, I was born in Berkeley, raised in Oakland. And then the thing happened that out of high school, Oakland High School, Oakland, I trophied in Chrysler Plymouth troubleshooting. Okay, got my trophy. And life moved on. Now, Y2K, because we went to the face of the moon and back again in between 60 and 69, Long Beach Harbor has a memorial to the first attempt for Apollo 13 because it blew up on the pad. And then they did it again.
Let me just interrupt a little bit.
You're doing great, but I haven't heard anything about your record, Phil.
Love this story, but let me do what I do with my clients. Could you tell me how this story comes out first?
I know, Jeff. I listen to you all the time.
Okay? I appreciate that.
Okay, so in a minute or less, here's the situation. In the California Health and Welfare Code, there's 2150, 2250, and 2350. And within that section of health and safety, there's an automatic bump up from county, city, and region of the state to various facilities. As in, if the city can't handle it, they bump it to the county, of which there's 58 in California. Then it bumps up to the state. And I've been in Folsom State Prison for safekeeping during trial in Placer County. And I got a scalp massage, and I lost my ability to get 8 and 8 or 16 because it comes out 15 or 17.
So the question is?
And the question is to expunge it back to, say, 1969 with the state in terms of justice. You know, because after my first marriage in 70 to 77, the divorce years were really crappy. And so then it's like I felt like an overgrown juvenile delinquent.
Yeah, what were you convicted of?
That doesn't sound like a conviction, Phil.
Well, no. I lost the trial, okay?
Yeah. So what were you convicted of, Phil, and did you go to prison or jail?
I went to jail in Auburn.
Okay.
And then got bumped up to Folsom for safekeeping.
Okay. What we did so far.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And the incident happened in Roseville.
Okay.
And it attaches to a girlfriend and her son in Sparks, Reno, Nevada.
Yeah.
Okay, but the real question we need to know is what was the conviction for?
Now,
yeah.
Phil.
No.
Well, the way it unfolds is she made her son give me a Ford pickup. The difficulty with that truck was that there were two battery cables, one dangling in front of the radiator and the other one hooked to the engine.
Phil, you got to tell me what you were convicted of and whether you went to prison or not. That's all I want to know.
The big question, Phil, is not the facts of the offense. We don't need those for tonight's purposes. If we talk later.
We just need to know
what the charge was.
So at the loss of the trial, okay, the judge said, you've served enough time. All you need to do is make restitution to the owner of the Headstone store that was in Roseville.
Yeah. And did you do that?
Okay.
Did you do that?
Sure. It was only like $3,500 or less.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so
were you put on probation or did you go to prison?
Well, no. In other words, between the laws of California, 2150, 2250, 2350, instead of going to a medical facility, I took the trial. And then, of course, because I couldn't condense myself, they said guilty. And then the judge says, time served, free to go, make restitution to the plaintiff.
Did you ever get committed to state prison?
No, I was just held there for safekeeping in the medical unit.
Okay, let me interrupt you for a minute, Phil. This is going to take a bit longer than we have on the air. And what I'm going to recommend is I'm going to give you a couple of places that you can call, get advice with somebody who's got 15 or 20 minutes to sit with you, kind of go through the ins and outs of it.
Can you do that from area code 510?
Yeah, this is actually pretty easy. From 510, you would want to call the Alameda County Bar Association. Their number is 510-302-2222. They have a lawyer referral and information service. If you are able to pay it, their entire charge is something in the neighborhood of $30 for a half hour. And they'll be able to take your call, spend some time with you, set up a one-on-one with an attorney. If it's someone you want to work with, you can. At a minimum, you'll get a lot of information. You can spend a half hour there for not much more. Hope that helps. And we're happy to have you join us on your legal rights. It's just that we can't spend a half an hour on the call like you probably want to spend a little more time with, and we're going to go.
Hey, Phil, good luck to you. Like I said, this can get really complicated, so go talk to a good attorney.
And where we left off, we were talking about different avenues that might be available now. One of the things that's new is diversion, actual drug diversion. We haven't had it since 1997. It's back now.
Mm-hmm.
And now when somebody is accused of a drug offense, one of the options they have is, hey, if you meet these criteria, we'll set the whole thing aside. No plea, nothing. All you do is you waive time. You waive your right to go to trial by jury. And at the end, everything gets dismissed.
Yeah, actually, there have been a lot of interesting changes in diversion. And just so everyone knows, we call it diversion, but the official name is deferred entry of judgment, which means that in some circumstances, you actually enter a plea to the charges, and then the judge doesn't enter the judgment, which means you've not been convicted. So we call it diversion or deferred entry of judgment or DEJ. And one of the nice things about diversion is it's one of those tools that if if you have the appropriate charges to get into a diversion program, you don't have a prior record, so you're eligible for diversion, you can actually take the diversion route. You can go to a program. It's sort of like being on probation. You do that successfully, and your case goes away. And under the diversion statutes as they stand right now, your case really goes away. I mentioned in the beginning of the program that there's an important distinction between expungement and what we call full expungement. For a diversion, you get full expungement. It goes away completely. Your records are sealed. They're ultimately destroyed. And it's literally, truly, completely like the case never happened. The other thing that is really nice about diversion now is that most counties now have what we call pre-plea or immigration-friendly diversion. And that gets a little bit inside baseball, but very briefly, if you enter a plea for purposes of the federal authorities and for purposes of immigration, that's considered to be a conviction. The federal authorities don't have to recognize any of our expungement or diversion statutes. So many counties have now set up a program where you can get on the diversion track without entering a plea, do your diversion program successfully, and the case goes away, and there are no immigration consequences, which are important for our non-citizen clients.
And there's a whole lot of relief valves available for non-citizen clients, such as if somebody wasn't given the right kind of legal advice. It's now a lot easier.
Yeah, we experienced for many years, we experienced the kind of situation where a client would get a criminal conviction, a non-citizen client. They would do all of the right things. They would get the case expunged, get their record cleared in state court, but the federal authorities would come in and say, oh, no, you were convicted, and as far as we're concerned, convicted is convicted. We don't care what they did in California. And if you were convicted of an offense that rendered you removable from the United States, you could be kicked out of the United States. Now we have specific statutes that say that if there was a legal error in your conviction, that you can actually petition the court to have the conviction and the judgment set aside, vacated is the term we use, and the whole thing goes away. And it's truly, again, it's truly as if the case never happened. So the federal authorities will and must recognize it because there's simply no conviction there for them to look to. And one of the things that can constitute the legal error and give a non-citizen the right to have that conviction vacated is that they were not properly advised that they could be deported or that there could be adverse immigration consequences. And that's, in fact, the most common grounds on which these convictions are vacated. So that fact pattern is something we can deal with now and something that, you know, the statute avoids a lot of very tragic situations of people who have been good people. They've been in the United States for years and years. They've never bothered to get their citizenship. They wind up with a conviction. They do everything right. They clear their record, but they find themselves being removed from the country. And we're really cutting back on that with these new tools, and that's obviously a good thing.
You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden. We're talking about clearing your criminal record, or perhaps a record that stops short of criminal because you were never charged, never convicted. Or maybe you weren't informed properly what your rights were or what the consequences would be. Or maybe there's other reasons for you to get that clearance. My guest tonight, Dean Johnson, is an Emmy-nominated commentator on both legal and political matters. I originally scheduled it tonight with Dean because he's a former prosecutor. He's an attorney practicing both civil litigation and criminal defense in both state and federal courts. But when we first talked about this show, we scheduled it to talk about clearing records. But with today's news, I think we're going to be shifting gears now and again, because we've all been watching the beginnings of a public impeachment hearing, and boy, was that something to talk about. Again, if you have questions for my guest, our phone number to us in the studio, 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. Again, that's 866-798-8255. And as always, you can call regarding any question on the topic of whether it's clearing your record or where we're about to go with law and politics or what's happening with the impeachment proceedings or where we left off with the Mueller investigation. And does that factor in what's going on? Any of today's events, law, politics, impeachment, clearing your record, give us a call. We're happy to hear from you. Again, our toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. We talked a little bit before the show about the impeachment hearings and what in the world is going on in Washington. I was listening on the way up here to Congressperson Jackie Speier, who correctly, I thought, pointed out that for the last few weeks, we've heard nothing but complaints about a star chamber, about how this is done behind locked doors, how no one's allowed to see it, and this stuff needs to be public. So they respond by making it public. And then immediately we're told, well, this is all a show trial. It's not real. So if you do it as they did with the Starr investigation of President Clinton, you have a judge doing it. It's all behind closed doors. It's done by depositions and the like, and no one there was saying you need to make it public. But they'd started that way, the same way, before the House hearings. Then we're told, no, you have to make it public. As soon as it gets public, we're told it's a show. What's going on with these folks?
Well, I think it's important to remember, Jeff, that even though it's great to watch these public hearings and it's terrific for the public to see this process, none of that is necessary. The reason we're having public hearings and in many cases going over testimony that's already been given behind closed doors is essentially to take away the argument from the White House's side that this is not fair, that this is not public, that we're not having an opportunity to cross-examine. There's an old saying that justice must not only be done, it must be seen to be done, and House Democrats now are doing their best to ensure that justice is seen to be done, or at least that if people think it's not justice, they're seeing the process and they can weigh in on the criticism. We opened the show by talking about whether our democracy is falling apart. I've said I think several times on this show and other shows that I'm an optimist. I think stress tests like this for our democratic institutions are a good thing because they make us realize that democratic institutions are by no means guaranteed. And I think these public hearings are something that gives us at least some cause for optimism, because what we're seeing here what people sometimes have derisively called the deep state. And what we realize is that this deep state actually consists of dedicated public servants who, many of them war heroes, military veterans, who have then devoted their entire careers to the service of the United States. And I think that the cause for optimism here is that these people are willing to speak truth to power and willing to stand up to the President of the United States, even in the face of orders from the White House that they not testify. And it's those people who create the continuity in our government and in many ways are responsible for the resiliency of our institution. And it's good that people see that our democracy is not run just by people who are fighting for the next election and who are pushing their way into the view of the cameras to get the next photo op. There are generally competent, skilled, dedicated people out there who are keeping our democracy together.
Let me point out one last thing before I turn it over to our caller who's on the line. Criminal cases really consist of three phases. The first phase is investigatory, it's done outside of public view. It may be the police questioning somebody or some other entity doing their investigation. They may talk with people at their homes. They may have them come into the station, but it's quiet. We may get recordings or transcripts of it, or more recently, even videos of it, but it's done in private. The second phase, when things get to court, we're not talking trial, but there's hearings. There are schedules, there are dates, there are hearings, there may be motions involved from one side or the other. And I think that's where we're stepping into today. And the third phase, the trial, is where somebody can confront their accusers, where they have all the rights that set in. We've all heard the expression innocent until proven guilty or guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Those don't set in until the day you start trial, and we're not even there yet. We're at the point now where Congress has started today the process of weighing whether or not there's going to be a trial. And that's as far as the House gets. Let me turn it over to George in Oakland. George, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, George.
Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, I hear you. Hello.
Hi. George, what would you like to talk about today? Do you want to talk about the politics of the day?
I want to state I need an opinion, a legal opinion. Let me speak with the... I was living in an apartment house, and a woman had a pit bull, and she intimidated me with a pit bull continuously. So I was arrested for brandishing a weapon, and I said, if the dog gets on me, I'm going to have to put it down. So I was arrested, went to jail, et cetera, et cetera. Went to court for 7 months. The final readiness hearing, I requested a dismissal. The DA could not get a witness. The woman who witnessed it wouldn't come forward. So they dismissed it on inability to prosecute. Okay, now that might have a 5-year statute of limitations. I want to get that off my record completely. They said, no, we're going to keep it, but they didn't say based on what. So if the statute of limitations on prosecution ends, legally, can I have that expunged?
Let me ask you a couple questions to clarify first, and then I'll turn it over to my guest, and I may have some opinions as well. You mentioned that they dismissed it or set it aside. What was the charges you were charged with?
For brandishing a weapon.
Usually that's a misdemeanor. Was it a misdemeanor in your case?
Yes.
How long has it been?
2013.
Okay. The statute of limitations on that is normally a year, and even though the statute of limitations stops when the case is filed, there are many issues to do with speedy trial. Where did you leave off?
I went to the readiness hearing, and I requested a dismissal. The judge asked the DA, are you ready to go? My attorney said, we want a speedy trial, start the clock. The DA said, I don't have a witness. My witness won't be back for 5 months. Well, the judge said, this has been 7 months. I'm going to dismiss the charge. And then in the final disposition, it says, charges dismissed, unable to prosecute. Okay? So I wasn't found guilty. I want to know, how long do I have to wait before I can have that removed from my record completely? The arrest, the whole thing.
The news is good. I'll turn it over to Dean Johnson.
Yeah, I don't think the news is so good. I mean, the tool that would be available for somebody that got a dismissal is what we call a finding of factual innocence. But from what you've told us, you may not be factually innocent. You could petition the court for that finding, but then the burden is on you to show that they're under no reasonable interpretation of the facts. Could you have been found guilty? And it sounds like maybe under a reasonable interpretation of the facts, you might well have been found guilty.
No, it's impossible. I was on private property,
And
there's a statute. There's a statute change in California in 208
mm-hmm.
that says you can use deadly force against a vicious animal.
Uh-huh.
So I had known all that before. And then I proceeded. I was on private property, my apartment, behind a locked gate, and I went to trial, and I said, I want to dismiss.
Okay.
And so, they weren't able to come up with a witness, so that was 5 years ago. I want to know, how do I just get that off my history? I don't want that on my history.
George, there's a new tool available to you that was not available at the time of the dismissal. And at the time of the dismissal, the only remedy you could have had would have been an expungement. You couldn't do a petition for finding a factual innocence because there was enough to connect the dots, even though they didn't have enough evidence to convict you. We're not talking about beyond a reasonable doubt for that mechanism. There is a new tool available that has a lot of promise for you. And when I said there's good news, my recommendation, are you in Oakland right now?
Yeah.
And that's where the offense took place, is in Alameda County?
Yes.
Call the Alameda County Bar at that number I gave away a few minutes ago. That's 510-302-2222. And it's worth it to drop $30 or $35, whatever they're charging these days.
But on what basis do I ask to have it removed?
There is a new basis. It's under Penal Code Section 851.91, 851.92. And that specifically addresses someone who suffered an arrest that did not result in a conviction. And it talks about the statute of limitations run on every offense on which it was based. And in your case, the prosecuting attorney filed an accusatory pleading, but no conviction occurred. The charge had been dismissed. Can't be refiled. You fit right in there. And that can get it wiped away. 851.91, 851.92. This is new stuff. New this year, and it really provides you that relief.
Yeah, that can work too. And George, it sounds like you're telling me that maybe you weren't guilty of a crime. So you might also talk to, when you talk to somebody in Alameda, you might want to talk to them about the finding of factual innocence, which is 851.5. And like we said, all of these things turn on very, very small nuances of facts. If your lawyer knows what the facts are, he can tell you what to do.
Okay, George, thanks for joining us. And we'll be back right after this.
Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's lawyer referral service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information. We'll be back in a few seconds to your legal rights.
Jim in San Francisco, you're on the air. Welcome to your legal rights.
Hi. After you get an expungement, a legal expungement, when you fill out an application, how do you fill it out? When they ask you if you have a criminal record, do you say yes or no?
Oh, great question. I get this from my clients all the time, Jim. The law says that once you've got your expungement, for most purposes, if you're not applying to be a lottery commissioner or some sort of public official, for most private employment, if somebody asks you if you've ever had a criminal conviction, you can legally answer no, because that's the way California law regards it. Now, there's always a caveat to that, because even though you can legally answer no, and even though the employer is not allowed to ask you about any expunged convictions or anything like that, that doesn't mean that the employer can't find out about it.
Exactly.
Because generally your record's not sealed. It's still a public record.
Yeah.
And, you know, these days with the Internet, anybody can find out anything about anybody. My investigators could find out about a criminal conviction, probably even if it's sealed or expunged, in a matter of minutes. So my clients ask me, well, what should I do? And generally, I think what my clients do, and it's totally up to them, is they go the route of honesty is the best policy, which really? Is you tell them the truth. If somebody asks you if there was a criminal conviction on a form, you say, well, yep, I had a DUI or I had a petty theft back in whenever. I did some probation and the case was dismissed.
And well,
that way you avoid the embarrassment. But like I say, it's up to you.
Okay, so if you know that there's at least a 50% chance that you're not going to get this job, if you say yes, you know, I'd like to explain what happened, mm-hmm. Then you're already behind the eight ball.
Well, it's a little bit of a disadvantage, but the truth is that there are so many people who have something in their record that even though you might that might be one factor that people consider, it's not the only factor. I represent people who are CEOs of large corporations who are, you know, high management level, who are applying for jobs that require security clearances, and a conviction is not a bar to getting that job. I mean, remember, the 43rd president of the United States had a DUI conviction. That didn't keep him from getting the job.
Yeah. So I have another question for you.
Yeah.
After you got, I had the expungement, about 2 years later, I applied for a job, and I was denied the job. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I found out, but somehow I found out that I had to go down to the Hall of Justice and find out whether or not they had taken the records down. In other words, mm-hmm. And I found out that they hadn't. The records were still there. When I got angry and I started yelling, they told me that they were short-staffed, and they would get to it. That was their answer.
Yeah, well, the records would be there anyway. If what you got was your standard expungement, as opposed to the thing we were talking about before,
the diversion, or
diversion or anything like that, the records are still going to be there. Expungement literally means erasing, and we call it expungement, but the record doesn't get erased. There's just a line that's added that says case dismissed, and so that you've got to think strategically about this when you apply for a job and think, you know, what's my best course to, you know, just not, you know, to take the advantage of the expungement and say, no, I've never been convicted, or to tell the truth and the whole truth so that you don't wind up with an embarrassing moment down the road.
So is there any way to avoid what we've just discussed? Is there any way to get that record cleared and put sealed?
There are some, like we said, sealing is very unusual and very rare. If you're on a diversion if you had drug charges and you were on a diversion program.
No, it was pool selling.
It was what?
Pool selling.
What kind of selling?
Pool selling is bookmaking in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Never heard that term.
Yeah, no, they use it. They're still using the 1900 term. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's an interesting term. But yeah, I think the 1203.4 is about the best you can do. There is a thing. Was that a long time ago?
A long time ago. In the 80s.
Oh, okay. You've been totally honest and conviction-free since then?
Yes.
Okay. There's a thing called a certificate of rehabilitation. They're difficult to get. I've gotten a couple of them in my career, but it takes that expungement to the next level and essentially restores all your rights. And essentially, once you get the certificate of rehabilitation, it really is like the conviction never happened. And once you get that certificate automatically goes to the governor's office and to the office of pardons.
So it's almost like a pardon.
Yeah, so it goes away altogether.
And I assume that to get the certificate, you need a lawyer to help you with the paperwork and everything.
Well, you know, you can do it yourself, but you could also remove your own appendix yourself. It's a good idea. It's a real good idea to have competent counsel. And Jeff has been giving out the names of the lawyer referral services in the various counties. Call your county bar association if you're in San Francisco. Call that bar association. Everybody's got a lawyer referral service. It costs you around $30 to sit down and get a consultation with a lawyer who does that kind of law, and you take it from there.
And the reality, Phil, is that you could fill out the paperwork, but you want it filled out in a way that's going to sell it, not just to the court you're going to originally, but the next one after that. You want to be able to sell yourself right up through and including the governor's office, and somebody who does these knows how to fill those out appropriately. The number, Phil, and the, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong paper. Jim, the number you want is the Bar Association of San Francisco Lawyer Referral Information Service at 415-989-1616. And they'll be nice to you. They're also co-sponsors or co-underwriters at KALW. So, Dean, where we left off, we were talking about some of these other tools. One of the things I brought up was the idea of somebody coming in and saying, okay, maybe I'm not going to meet the burden for factual innocence, but I was never convicted and all their time has run out. They get a little better rights now than they used to, don't they?
Yeah, you. If you were never convicted, it sort of depends on whether there was a case filed or not. If you were arrested or detained and nothing was ever charged by the DA, you can start by petitioning the agency that arrested you, and then they can go to the DA, and then they can get that record sealed. If charges were filed, then you go directly to court. To the court where the charges were filed, and if the case was dismissed, you can also get that record sealed. So there, if you were never convicted, there are lots of tools that are available to you. If you are convicted, there's still other tools, but there are some limitations on those tools. And it's only in very limited situations that the record goes away altogether. Essentially, for most people, the record is going to say what it says, and it's going to accurately reflect what happened, which is ultimately a dismissal of your case.
You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco. We're picking up a show that we left off a year ago, talking about redemption, second chances, clearing your criminal record. A lot of new tools. Things have changed. The doors opened up for a lot of folks. We were also talking about events in Washington today. It wasn't something we had planned, but it's really hard to make it through a night to night and not talk about some of the drama that we've seen. And whether it's really a healthy exercise, whether our democracy is in danger, exactly what's going on. If you have questions for my guest tonight, Dean Johnson, Emmy-nominated commentator on both legal and political matters. Questions for us, call us in the studio, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. If you're outside the local dialing area, 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. You don't have to jump right into our conversation exactly where we may be. If you have a question about clearing your criminal record, if you have a question about criminal law, if you have a question about law and politics, if you want to talk about what's happened today, whatever it may be, our toll-free number, 866-798-8255. So, Dean, where would you like to go next? You want to start want to talk more about the impeachment? You want to talk a little more about avenues for people that may want to be clearing their records?
Well, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there who have questions about clearing their records. Such a large percentage of our audience, of the entire population of this country now has some contact with the criminal justice system, so I'd be happy to talk to anybody who wants clarifications, advice, direction. But you know I love to talk about politics, and this is an historic situation. And we talked about thinking strategically a few minutes ago, and I have to say that one of my concerns is that it's really not clear whether either side, either the Republicans or Democrats, the White House, the investigatory committees, whether they have thought this out and gamed this whole thing out strategically, and if they know exactly what the outcome is going to be. I mean, right now, we seem to be on a train track towards impeachment, which is, of course, just the accusation. It's not the conviction. But where does it go from there? Assuming articles of impeachment are issued, we then have to go to a trial in the Senate. What happens if there is a conviction? what happens if there's an acquittal. And those are where the games get very complex. If there's an acquittal, we don't really have a lot of history for that. We only have three instances in the United States where we've gone down that road. We do have a lot of studies from other countries where there have been similar processes. And what happens, so what seems to happen, is if a chief executive, whether he be an autocrat or a democratically elected official, is accused, but then escapes conviction, escapes responsibility for his actions, he becomes even stronger. Bill Clinton was impeached but not convicted. After the trial was over and he was and conviction did not occur, his approval rating soared to 73%, which is astronomical. That's been true of other officials in other countries that have similar processes. So I guess what I'm saying is that our politicians need to think about exactly where they're going. And this case against Donald Trump, if there is a case, needs to be extremely convincing, to the point that anybody who looks at it is not going to say, yeah, well, maybe there was something wrong. They're going to say, oh, my God, he did that. And if you don't get that kind of reaction, this case may not go in the direction that Democrats hope.
And there is a noticeable difference between the impeachment faced by President Clinton, the impeachment faced by President Trump, in that the impeachment faced by President Clinton didn't allege an abuse of the powers of his office, and certainly not using the various vestiges of government to achieve his personal ends in the same way it does against Trump. But
yeah,
so it's really different.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of distinctions, and one of the distinctions is that everybody understood what Clinton was accused of. And it was very clear. It was actions growing out of an affair that he had in the Oval Office. Most people, I think, don't understand, and a lot of people don't even care that much about foreign policy. Most people don't understand the enormous strategic significance that the Ukraine has, and don't understand why it's important that that a president would hold up military aid to the Ukraine as hostage to his own personal political ends.
Unless they're a Seinfeld fan and watched Kramer and Newman involved in a game of, was it Risk that they were playing, where it came down to Ukraine? But before we go further with that, I don't mean to make light of it. I did want to transition so we can take this call from Art in San Francisco. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you. I've called the program before, and I think I may have expressed this before, but I still want to know. I'm a little concerned that the basis for the Democrats' prosecution of impeachment is a little too narrow, and I wonder if you agree. And also, Nadler used to be, you know, had some role to play prior to this in the Mueller investigation. I feel like he's being sidetracked. Are you, Dean Johnson, concerned that the basis for impeachment is being approached in too narrow a basis, and that there should be many more articles of impeachment and a much broader case invoking the pattern of behavior of the president as being very impeachable, which I think it is?
Art, you've made this call before. I remember when we talked about it. And before Dean answers, I did, in listening to Congressperson Speer this afternoon on the way up here, she was saying that she led me with the impression that what we're seeing today is only phase one, and that at the end of this, I don't know if it's going to go directly to the House or if they will then hear from Congressman Nadler's committee and where it goes next. But Dean, I'll let you answer that.
Well, I think what we're seeing here is parallel processing. We're at a point where, for political and strategic reasons, we're having public hearings on the whole Ukraine issue. But I like to look at those small stories that don't get a lot of attention. And one story that came out about 10 days ago that got very little attention was that these same committees that are looking at Ukraine have also subpoenaed full transcripts and evidence from the Mueller investigation. So we may be seeing some investigation along those lines as well. My own thought is that The Mueller investigation in some ways is kind of damaged goods. We had the big reveal. We had Mueller's testimony, and it sort of fell flat. This investigation is wide and it's deep, and in some ways it's better to focus on one theory than having multiple theories. It's more sometimes simple is more convincing. And if you can convince people that there was, as appears to be, a long time ongoing scheme to hold the Ukraine hostage to Donald Trump's personal political interests, I think that becomes a powerful case. And in some ways, going into other areas may detract from that presentation. As Jeff pointed out, the whole Ukraine affair is a classic abuse of power. It's exactly the kind of thing that the framers were concerned about when they decided to put impeachment clauses in the Constitution. And I think the case is about as strong as it's going to get with that affair being the focus of the investigation.
Art, thanks for joining us in Your Legal Rights. And let me turn it to Rod in San Francisco. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering about what might happen after the impeachment trial, that Trump will either be impeached or not impeached. And what about the other people? Could these people be charged with treason, for instance, or some other charges?
Other people being?
Giuliani, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, some of Giuliani's associates have already been charged,
right.
And yes, I think Rudy Giuliani right now is probably on the cusp of being charged with a number of different offenses, probably violations of campaign laws, maybe an accessory to things like bribery or extortion, a possible violation of the Logan Act, which would be only the second time that anybody's ever been charged under that statute. If I were a creative prosecutor sitting in the U.S. Attorney's Office, I'd be putting out a whole laundry list of things that Giuliani and anybody else who is associated with this thing might be charged with.
If Trump is impeached, would that leave him open to similar charges or treason?
The Constitution specifically says that the only purpose of the impeachment process is to decide whether the individual should be removed from office. That's the only punishment that the Senate can impose if they convict. But it specifically says that this is not in any way to take away from the ability of the legal authorities to prosecute the persons convicted of any crimes they may have been committed. So, yes, if Donald Trump were convicted and there were other crimes, either federal or state crimes, that could be proved, he could be prosecuted for those as well.
Yeah, to me, that's good news.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sure thing.
We're running low on time. We did get one caller who actually did not want to go on the air. He mentioned a couple of things. There was a charge in which he went to jury trial, was acquitted. No chance of that coming back again. What can he do under Section 851? What kind of relief can he get?
Oh, if you go to jury trial and you're acquitted, you can ask the judge who tried the case. You can petition the judge to make a finding of factual innocence, in which case, if it's granted, then the entire case goes away. The records are sealed and ultimately destroyed. But it's your burden to show that you were acquitted, not because the prosecution simply failed to prove its case, but because you didn't do anything wrong.
How long would something like that take?
Oh, that can be done in a matter of a couple of weeks. It's simply put on what we call a motions calendar and set within whatever time limits your local court requires for those motions.
The other caller that asked, he was accused by his former wife at the time of things that might constitute criminal threats or false imprisonment. Ultimately, That charge was dismissed. No possibility of refiling because they were all filed as misdemeanors.
Mm-hmm.
When does he have to wait, or when can he get that type of relief for that type of offense?
Yeah, he would get the same sort of relief that we discussed before, and there's a 2-year limitation on your ability from the time of the acquittal on your ability to file for that sort of relief.
When we talk about things for an expungement, we're normally talking about somebody who's completed probation, is not facing any new charges, and never really picked up any new charges during the period of probation. If this was the same individual, is the fact that there were subsequent charges, one after the next, is that any kind of a bar for relief, considering that he's never been convicted of anything?
It makes it a little... The fact that you didn't do so well on probation makes it a little bit more difficult, but we handle these cases all the time. If you complete your probation successfully without any hitches, you don't pick up any other new cases or anything, then you're entitled to an expungement as a matter of right. The judge cannot deny it. If you haven't done that well on probation, you made a few mistakes, made the wrong step every once in a while, then we can still ask the judge to expunge your conviction, but the judge has discretion to do it or not. Usually if there's, you know, some minor slips and you have a good reason for the expungement and you've otherwise led a good life, we'll get it. The other thing that I get requests for all the time is that people who are still on probation and they have a sudden change in their lives. They're applying for a job. Their company's doing background checks. Their company's going to be acquired and management is going to be subject to background checks, whatever it may be, and they're still on probation. You can come to us and or to any good attorney who does this, and you can get what's called an early termination of probation if you have good cause. We can stop your probation right there, and we can get your expungement the same day. So that relief is available to people even if they're in mid-probation.
We're about out of time. Would you like to take about a minute to sum up any closing thoughts on either of our two topics, or maybe both?
Well, you know, I think we're beginning to realize, and I see this every day, that people make mistakes. Most of the people who come in to ask for my advice on criminal law are not criminals. They're just people who've made a wrong step. And it used to be that that single wrong step could ruin your life, but now we have so many tools available that there's hope and there's a chance to get back on track. And people should take advantage of that. The big problem is people, it's sort of like going to the dentist. You don't want to get that root canal till you absolutely have to. The best thing you can do is if you've got a record out there, go and take care of that right now and get that cleared up. So when that background check emerges or when the job opportunity emerges, you're all set to go and you don't have to worry.
There's not much I can say to add to that. I think you nailed it perfectly.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden. Tonight we resumed a show entitled Second Chances, Clearing Your Criminal Record. And given the affairs of the day, we also discussed where events have taken us in the impeachment investigation. With me in the studio tonight, Emmy-nominated legal analyst and commentator Dean Johnson comments on both legal and political matters and is the founder of Pundit Network. A former prosecutor, Mr. Johnson practices criminal defense and civil litigation both in state and federal courts. Dean, thank you for joining us once again tonight.
My pleasure, as always.
Next week, we return to Your Legal Rights with our year-end tax planning program. And we are planning a Call a CPA night. That's next week. Again, you're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco. For my guest, Dean Johnson, and at the controls for the vacationing Joanne Marr, my friend Debbie Kennedy, I'm Jeff Hayden. Our thanks to you for listening, and have yourselves a good night.
support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.